Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. Yes, it's me. I'm here representing our HOA, which is Lofts on 4th. We are adjacent to the building, but we're across the street on Alamitos. We have some comments. We prepared a PowerPoint for you guys to show you our perspective on this particular project. But before we do, I'd like to thank Councilwoman Gonzalez and Pierce, who have spent time with us to sit down and listen to our concerns. And with that information, we've been able to prepare this PowerPoint.
Thank you. My name is Bebe Jimenez. I'm on the board for the Lofts on 4th Association. I'm here representing the appellants Tino Jaramis, Karen McGinley, Tetsu Hashimoto, and Kazumi Horimoto. First item, let's go ahead and begin. Who are we? We're long-term neighborhood stakeholders. We're homeowners. We've been in this neighborhood in our building since the beginning of redevelopment. Our building was built by redevelopment. We're residents who chose a friendly neighborhood close to the downtown core, but with an easier pace, a little bit slower. We're supporters of compatible development. We support projects that respect our neighborhood. We're not NIMBYs. One of the appellants is a real estate broker. I've worked on both the public and private side of residential development throughout my career. We support projects that follow the rules. I'm drawing your attention now to the downtown plan. Our opposition to this project really is rooted in the downtown plan. We see that as a good base document that allows for reasonable development that's sensitive to our neighborhood. The downtown plan says that good design usually results from projects that were conceived in their total and respond sensitively to their immediate context. The following standards and guidelines underscore design principles intended to produce good buildings, great streets, and memorable places. Standards per the downtown plan. Standards identify requirements. Guidelines should be addressed with all development projects. Alternatives will be permitted only if the intent of the design guideline is met. Again, standards equal requirements. Our issue relative to 320 Alamitos specifically relates to standard number 2. New buildings shall respect the scale of adjacent structures and respond to their elements in an appropriate manner. And number 3, new buildings should be bold and innovative and promote a forward-looking identity for downtown Long Beach. Architectural design standards or design guidelines are also included. The applicant proposes a mid-rise design. We actually think a low-rise building is more appropriate for this location. But even presuming a mid-rise design, the guidelines indicate that the massing and design of mid-rise buildings should be sensitive to the adjacent scales and carefully address the transition to lower height structures that may exist or may be anticipated on the same block. The project fails to meet standard number 2. New buildings shall respect the scale of adjacent structures. 7 stories is out of scale and inappropriate for this neighborhood. The adjacent buildings are all low-rise buildings, no mid-rise buildings, no 7 stories. Most buildings, again, are 1 and 2 stories in height. The project fails to meet architectural guideline that I mentioned before, that the massing and design of mid-rise buildings should be sensitive to adjacent scales and carefully address the transition to lower height structures. The proposed project is significantly taller, therefore insensitive to the scale of the adjacent buildings. The transitions that it would create would be jarring and abrupt, as there are no 7-story buildings or any buildings near that height adjacent to the proposed project site. Again, this is our neighborhood. The project site is identified in red. I'm going to go through quickly some slides of the surrounding streets so you can see for yourselves what the adjacent building heights are. This is a northbound view of Alamitos and 3rd Street. You can see a 2-story motel to the left and 3- and 4-story condos. That's the seaside villas immediately adjacent to the project site. This is a misleading and false context represented by the renderings included in the plan package from the developer. The building to the far left, where the arrow is pointed, does not exist. The southbound view of Alamitos and 3rd Street, again, one-story apartments, one-story auto repair, two-story apartments, one-story auto, and a two-story motel. Again, across the street, 3rd at Alamitos, one-story, two-story, one-story. Another misleading rendering that's included in the plan package, these two buildings to the far left corner, they don't exist. They appear to give some dimension and height to the surrounding context, but they do not exist. Again, here we are at Alamitos and 4th Street, giving you some more perspective. Again, two-story apartments to the left, one-story smog shop. The V-Room is just off the screen. You can't see it, but it's a one-story bar. I'm sure some of you may have visited it from time to time. To the right is two-story condos. Here's another misleading rendering showing distorted scale. This is also from the project plans. The Via Riviera and the International Towers are not this large when you view them from this location. Here's the actual photo of that location, and look at how far those two buildings are in the background. Again, we're looking here, northbound view of Alamitos and 4th, two-story condos, one-story retail, two-story apartments and retail, one and two-story motorcycle and auto. No seven stories. Once again, viewing towards Alamitos off of 4th, one story. No seven stories. Here we go, westbound view of 4th Street, Alamitos, 2.5 stories, one story. 320 Alamitos fails to meet the standards. Also, that the new building should be bold and innovative and promote a forward-looking Long Beach identity, or identity for downtown Long Beach. The design is not bold. It's not innovative. Many similar projects look like this in Long Beach. Everybody is doing it now, including Studio 111. It's now becoming a cookie-cutter approach, and unfortunately, we have a lot of these now in downtown Long Beach. Here we go. This architect in particular likes to use a lot of heavy horizontal lines, giving the building has a lot of heavy massing, giving it a very block-like appearance. You'll see this repeated over and over. This is another project, downtown 4th and Linden, heavy horizontal lines, heavy massing. Here we are, 1235 Long Beach Boulevard, heavy horizontal lines, heavy massing. Another same example at 245 West Broadway, and again, glass at the bottom. The glass lobby seems to be a trend. And here's one from Glendale Arts Colony. I found this one online, also by Studio 111. Look at that. And wow, here's the Long Beach version of the Glendale Arts project. Wow, should we look at that one more time? Look at that, wow. Look at the paneling at the right. We just get all the paneling in this version, right? Okay, so I'm going to try to hurry this up. The site plan review findings, we found some inconsistencies and errors there. Exhibit C says the design wouldn't remove any significant trees, but it also says that the billboard parcel contains two mature eucalyptus trees. I'm not sure who decides what's significant, but they're significant to us. If you can see them here, these are the two largest trees on 4th Street, probably in the East Village. For us, they are neighborhood markers, they provide character, they soften the corner, and they identify this place as our home. Also, we talked about shadow study. The shadow study that is in the staff report or in the plans is not adequate. Also, one thing to note, your resolution says that the building is 75.5 feet in height, the resolution you're being asked to approve. But the CEQA document says it's 74.5 feet, as does the staff report. I'm not sure which is which, but this is too bad that we're here trying to play guessing games, because one automatically triggers the requirement for a shade study. There was a shadow or shade study that was included in plans. It's not complete. And it doesn't meet the requirements. It doesn't provide calculations. It's unclear who, if anyone, verified those calculations or verified the shade study as accurate. We consider ourselves to be a sensitive use. Staff in their own CEQA document says it's unclear what a sensitive use is. We say we're a sensitive use. This photo is taken from a window in our condo complex, 7 in the morning, October 4th. A seven-story building will block our morning sun and put us in the shade. Our building, we consider ourselves sensitive to light-sensitive uses because we have large windows, extensive glazing, skylights, clear-story windows, and it's all designed to minimize the electrical usage. We rely on it a lot to light up our homes without using electricity. In addition, there are other flaws in the CEQA analysis that was included with the Planning Commission staff report. The analysis indicates that the project would not conflict with any applicable land use plan, policy, or regulation.
Thank you so much. And so I know the time is up on this. If there's a last statement you want to say to kind of conclude, and then we'll turn over to the second appellant.
Sure. Well, I would encourage you to go through and review the rest of the PowerPoint if they're able to send it to you electronically. The project is flawed. It doesn't follow the standards. The developer is going to tell you he spent a year developing the project and trying to come up with a good design. During that year, he never spoke to us. If he was smart, he would have spent that year trying to make a project that fits the standards, that follows the standards. It's a tough site. I get it. But there are standards in place. You can go 80 feet, yes, but if you meet the standards. And I think everyone should keep in mind that there's a lot of folks who are concerned about the land use element. And part of their concern is that when things get approved, that the rules that get put in place sometimes, oftentimes, are not followed. What we're asking for you tonight to do is to overturn the Planning Commission's approval of the project and show all of us that the rules will be followed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And if we can have Mr. Brofosky please come forward.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. My name is Warren Blasovsky. I represent Long Beach Citizens for Fair Development. Our mission statement is to preserve and protect the architectural, historical, environmental, and community resources of the City of Long Beach, and to guarantee that development in the city is carried out in a manner that reflects the principles of equity, social justice, responsible management of the public's resources. I'd like to thank the other appellant for just doing an amazing job of showing how this project does not conform to the downtown plan under CEQA. And I'd like to continue to contextualize what her comments were about the land use element. I think this is the largest uprising of public dismay in the city, probably since the 1991 riots. We had these meetings that the city held after demands at the Planning Commission's study session, when the Planning Commission did not want to recommend the land use element and staff insisted it was going to be presented to the council anyways. Part of this anger that's surrounding the LUE and this project is the way that the city uses a program EIR. Program EIRs under CEQA were not intended to be the end of environmental review for a project. They were meant to be part of a tiering that happened so that further environmental review can be done. And the way that these program EIRs are used by the city is to cease to do further environmental input. Like the previous appellant was saying, if the developer would have simply came and talked to them, they could have made some changes to their development. And you'll see that throughout this entire process on this development, there's been a large amount of community input, and there's been absolutely no changes in the project. So what is the community input doing, and what effect does it have? Basically none. When this project came before the Planning Commission, there was at least 30 to 40 members of the community, and most of them, the vast majority of them, spoke against the project and complained about parking ratios. Also, if you go ahead and look at the exhibit that was included with the staff report, there's about 40 letters from the public, of which 39 of them are against the project due to the lack of parking, and only one in support from the downtown business district. There's a problem with the staff's instructions to both this body and the Planning Commission. The staff seems to think that the Planning Commission and the City Council don't have a choice or say on anything, and very often tell the Planning Commission in response to questions, you have to approve this. You don't have the right to disapprove this. And in fact, if we look at the Planning Commission's website, it says that the Planning Commission does numerous requests from developers for administrative use permits, standard variances, et cetera, et cetera. So these are requests from the applicants. These are not demands that the Planning Commission has to rubber stamp. And in fact, we don't know why Commissioner Van Horek, the chairperson, abruptly quit in the middle of her term. We don't know why, but she did say at the Planning Commission study session, when the Planning Commission chose not to recommend the LUE maps to the City Council, she said, and I'm paraphrasing, are we meant to just rubber stamp this? Do we get a say on anything? That was one of her last meetings. So I think the Planning Commission themselves is sensing some of the frustration that's going on with the instructions being given to them. Specifically as it relates to this project, when this project came before Planning Commission, Commissioner Richard Lewis recused himself from the vote. I believe that was due to the fact that he is the principal developer. But if we look at the city ethics guide, it says that if there's a conflict of interest on page 9 could be if you are an officer, director, partner, employee, a trustee, or manager of a company with business before your department or a board. Well, he clearly recused himself for a reason. But when you look at page 13, I'm sorry, page 12, when it says, what are the remedies to a conflict? I'm sorry, page 10, what are the remedies? Abstain from the vote. And also number 2, you must publicly disclose the interest in the subject of potential conflict. It's my recollection that Commissioner Lewis did not give the public or the rest of the commission the reason or his interest in the developer during that recusal. I think that's problematic. When a commissioner recuses himself, I believe it has a chilling effect on the rest of the commission. How are you supposed to vote against the project that your fellow commissioners have an economic interest in? Also on page 8 of the city's guide to conflicts of interest, ethics guide, it says the state law prohibits you from being financially interested in any way in a city contract if your duties call on you to participate in any way or at any stage in the approval of the contract. Now, I'm not an attorney, but maybe the city council might want to ask the city attorney, does this development deal and the conditions of development constitute a contract between Mr. Lewis as a developer and the city of Long Beach? So I think it's problematic. I think Commissioner Lewis should decide, does he want to be a developer or does he want to be a planning commissioner? That's only fair to the people of Long Beach. The specifics of this project, I've given you all a copy of a letter that we've written. It goes over the specific reasons under CEQA why an EIR or further environmental studies are needed on this. And I just wanted to say that, you know, we're here to speak for the people that don't have a voice. 3 minutes in this chambers is really not enough time to express the needs that the community has. If you look through the letters in the attachments that staff has given you, one woman has a story of being assaulted because she had to park so far away from her place, from her house, coming home late at night. And these stories are just really heart-wrenching. Where do we go from here? We don't want to litigate this. That's not our intention. We just want some community involvement. And CEQA is there for community involvement. And so when the city continues to use program EIRs to avoid community involvement under CEQA, that's when we have a problem. That's when appeals happen. So we ask this body to send this back to the Planning Commission. Why is this so important? It's just one development. Democracy, if you look at Washington, it's broken right now. I mean, we've got the people's attorney up there lying in front of Congress. And so why is this important? It's important because for the residents of Long Beach, we depend on this body to be our local functioning democracy. We depend on you to be a progressive decision-making body that represents the people of Long Beach. And so when you see such a vast outpouring of dismay over the lack of parking and the outsized scale of this building, simply following the guidelines under CEQA could have given community input and could have made this project more agreeable to everyone involved. So I think in closing, we just like to give, I think Studio 111 could get one more award, and it's the architectural firm that's, you know, least considerate of what the needs of downtown Long Beach residents are. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have an opportunity for, if the applicant wants to give any sort of additional rebuttal, closing comments. I think we said 3 minutes, Mr. Mays, is that correct? Okay.
Good evening. My name is Jan Van Dyes. I am the construction manager for the project. I'm proud of this project. I think it's a beautiful project, and I recognize the concerns that we'll hear regarding parking in the community. And I think we knew coming in that this was going to be a challenging parking site and project because of the adjacency to a residential area, and it's the border of really where the urban part of the city meets the residential part of the city. That being said, it's Alaminos Boulevard, it's an urban street, and we feel the scale is in proportion to what that large, wide street carries. The adjacent building is in scale to residential, to low, mid-rise, to a taller building, and we're comfortable with that, and we believe it's a very attractive, good-looking project. That being said, I want to address several of the comments that were addressed that I felt were need to be addressed directly. First of all, I'm the construction manager for the project. I was hired by Mr. Loxbody, Dr. Loxbody, and our job is to shepherd it through the entitlement process. I am the owner of J.R. Van Dyes, 100%. Richard Lewis has no financial interest in this project, and I will just say that that statement that was made was untrue. I have a financial disclosure with the city, as I am also a commissioner, and you can confirm that. Secondly, I'm proud of the work that Studio 111 has done in this city, and I think they're a great business partner to the city. I think they've done wonderful work. They're extremely committed to this city, and they've done great work, and I think we need to support that. I think this is a super design, and I urge your support of this project tonight, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. With that, we are going to go ahead and close the hearing and do public comment, of course, and then we will come to the council. So if you're commenting, please come forward now. Obviously, we have a long night ahead of us, so please just give us your opinion, and we'll move on to the next person, and we will conclude the hearing at that point. So please say your name and begin.
Ann Prophet, and I live at 140 Linden Avenue. I've lived in Long Beach since 1975, and I was very proud of the Planning Commission's decision that they didn't want to approve this, but they were told by staff that they had to. It's an ugly project. It has nothing to do with the neighborhood. It's not the right thing. I know that you want us to walk everywhere, to bike everywhere, but we have no retail, no viable retail downtown, and we're not going to get it with little pockets of businesses on ground floors. At the same meeting where the Planning Commission did not want to approve this project, they asked that the parking situation be addressed again, because let's face it, it's not working. The downtown plan is not working for the people who own property, the people who rent property, and the people who do business downtown. It is not working. And I know you all want to fidget and not listen to me, but I'm really not happy about that. I've got a lot of notes here, but they're not working out. You have to wonder why Long Beach Development Services didn't want to look at parking options. Is it because They want to have this program EIR where nobody is involved in anything in this city, where they do everything and they cater to the developers. That is not right for those of us who have equity. And we're building too many apartments and not enough condos. You're not going to get people with equity in this city. And that's what we need, people who will come here and stay here, not come and be here for 2 years until their lease is up and then leave so that the apartment can charge more money. There are lots of questions about this place, but the bulk of the matter is it's not good for the neighborhood. You have a clear opportunity here. You can side with the people of Long Beach who don't want this project's height, its density, and its lack of viable parking options shoved down our throats. Or you can do your callous disregard for the citizens of Long Beach and show that you really don't give a hoot about any of us. What will it be?
Thank you. Next up, next speaker.
Good afternoon.
Also, real quick, Mr. Dan, I just want to make sure that everyone that's speaking is in the line. So I'm going to close the speakers list, and so the gentleman at the end there will be the last speaker. Speaking list is closed. Okay. Okay. Speakers list is closed. Mr.
Thank
Dano.
You. Good evening. My name is Jim Dano. I live in the Wilmore Historic District. Couple of things. I promised Kathleen that I would stay on point because of a lot of items that were mentioned earlier that really upset me, but I'm going to stay on point here. The key here with the developer and also the people involved is integrity. I've worked with Michael Bond, the senior project in the Wilmore Historic District. It was tough because it was an abandoned apartment that got transferred over. There's some pushback. He came in. He was extremely respectful. Every project that he's done has had the utmost integrity. I think a lot of people in this city, this is not Iowa by the sea anymore. They're out of touch on what the youth is bringing to the city. People these days, I'm probably the last person amongst a lot of people here that could afford to buy their own home. People these days are not buying homes. They're not going to the strip malls. They're not buying expensive cars. It's a different. They're riding bikes, they're walking, they're skateboarding, they're spending money on designer drinks. It's great. I wish I could do it. Now getting back on point, J.R. Van Dyce has worked with us on several community projects. Again, integrity. Sorry, doctor, I don't remember your last name, but I applaud you for hiring these two gentlemen and having them associated with your project. Again, integrity. I support this project 100%. Change is difficult. It is the beginning of change for downtown. And again, you have two of the highest rated people that I could think of that I would want to build my project in Long Beach. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kathleen Irvine, and I am a downtown resident. And I have to say that my favorite part of this project is getting rid of the horrible billboard. My father was born in Long Beach. I spent most of my childhood here, and I'm happy to see so many wonderful changes happening. There was a very dark period in Long Beach's history, and the newness and the vibrancy of our new downtown is wonderful. I was part of the downtown plan meetings, so I approved, despite being a preservationist, I approve of all the things that are going on. I love this project. Michael Bond and J.R. Van Dyce do great work. Just because you don't care for that particular look does not mean it's a bad thing. I do not think that it is correct to use that as a hammer to stop a project just because you personally do not like the color gray or glass or whatever it is. That is not enough of a reason. And to say, claim that a building that is across a large street is adjacent is really not correct. If you look at a dictionary, you would never see adjacent defined that way. So I appreciate their concerns, but quite frankly, I'm thrilled with this project, and I really want you guys to support it and move it forward quickly to get rid of that billboard. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Good evening, Council. Lived in the second district for over two decades. And the East Village has character. That's why people move into the second district. This architectural rendering is a cookie cutter. And it makes me wonder if it's prefab material. And then the other thing, why is it only 20% efficiency? If their lead winning 2020 awards for their architecture and green lead and all that, why isn't it more than 20% efficiency? Thirdly, again, you guys are green lighting all of these new constructions with no parking permitted for the neighborhood that's been there before all this continual development started rushing in. It's not fair. And listening to what was just said with the second appellant with regards to the commission, my goodness, you've got commissioners playing both sides of the fence. That's egregious and unethical. And for you all, if you all rubber stamp this and the community is in such an uproar, what do we have you all representing us for? If that's the case, we've got five council seats up for re-election. And it's time, way past time. We're going into the next new year and you got five seats up for re-election and we're continually have to battle. I also want to know what percentage of this is affordable housing? Any of it? Is all these new constructions going to be luxury buildings? And the majority of the people that are going to inhabit these apartment buildings are not from Long Beach. So how are you benefiting the 60% of people that are here already if you're not offering any percentage of it as affordable housing mandated by the city council through your charter? All you're doing is just luxury, luxury, luxury all over the place. And the integrity of the second street, the East Village is shot, because that's not what me being on the East Arts Council Planning Commission, the council, was supposed to represent in that village area. That's why people move into the village. So I don't approve this. The seven-story plan, the architecture does not meet the integrity of what the neighborhood looks like, and it's going to impact our parking in addition to the other new constructions that's going on. And you all have yet to address that.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe Cross, and I am an owner of one of the units at the Lafayette Condominium. I am also a 15-year employee of the related companies, which is a mega developer with dense urban planning skills. I am in favor of this project for a couple of reasons. One, market rate housing is definitely needed in the downtown area. Okay. Secondly, is socioeconomics. I believe the area median income must come up as well. That will help the city drive the quality retail that we sorely need in the second district, and as well your goal of bringing more employment to this great city. I think without the housing likely going first, you may not hit those other two goals. But thirdly, and most importantly, I believe in the multifamily concept that hits your sustainability. That's built into your downtown plan, the sustainable plan, and the city of DLBA's plan as well. It clearly states in your plan you are going to get Southern California off of the reliance of the automobile. And without a dense urban plan, you're likely not to hit that. And I truly do support that. I would like to take it one step further, though, as you look towards development in the inner core with the height restrictions of 250 feet, that you do urban planning that is able to hit your green space development that is not down here. Two, you can easily insert 20% inclusionary housing, which is highly successful in the New York City model. And because these projects are built to scale, you can hit parking ratios 2-to-1 that will pencil out to a developer. That just takes a little more foreplanning and getting over a couple of hurdles of where you're currently at. But truly, I do support the project. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. And I know the gentleman at the end was the last speaker, so I think we added somebody. That's okay. But that'll be the last speaker. No more speakers. Yes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, members of the City Council. My name is Tolliver Morris, and I'm representing Downtown Long Beach Alliance. I'm the former chair and board member for Downtown Long Beach Alliance. I wanted to put into the record a multitude of letters that we received from people of downtown and all over the place, residents, business owners, property owners who are in support of this project. This is exactly the type of project we need in our downtown. We need lots of these kinds of projects. I'm in the commercial real estate business and bring retail. I'm one of the spear heads for retail in downtown. All of the retailers who are coming to downtown are counting on these types of projects. The projects that have delivered thus far, the Current and the Edison, filled up to over 90% in record time, way ahead of schedule. They're doing great. We need more and more of this kind of project. This meets the downtown plan. It also meets with DLBA's strategic plan, and we're in support of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Tino Haramis. I live across the street from the project, and I moved to downtown in 12 years ago, brand new into the building, sold a house in Belmont Heights. In that area, we never had issues like this. All of a sudden, I love our area because it's a diverse area. It's also, in our building, we've got some affordable units that the people have to live there for 15 years. It shows stability. I feel that it's really, and so we had also the city the manager of this company come over and talk to us because Janine brought him over. And there seemed to be a lot of things he was saying that do not fit into our neighborhood. The first thing he said, well, the owner bought the lot at a reasonable price, but nothing below a 7 building with the underground parking doesn't pencil in. They couldn't figure out another way to make it more accessible or nicer for the neighborhood. It's called a village. It would bring down the quality. I would move out. If they build, I'll move out. You'll lose one more neighbor, because I'm not willing to live in a neighborhood with a big, ugly building in the front that does not fit in the village at all. The other thing is that those wonderful trees, somebody was talking about the billboard. Well, the billboard, I don't even notice it because I notice the trees. It's fantastic. So maybe you should not combine those lots, because those trees are wonderful and we don't have enough green space. We also have to think about the ethical part. We look at the plan, we know it's out of scale, we know they didn't follow the plan, but besides that, what about making something that also lets people with lower incomes be able to live in those apartments? Just the man before me was just talking about the fact that we want to create more business and make more money. No, we don't necessarily only need money. We need quality of life. We need a community. And, you know, we voted for you, Mayor Garcia, because you're innovative, you're young, and you would probably understand how wonderful it is to live downtown because of diversity, because and it's beautiful to live in a neighborhood. I'm Greek. In Belmont Heights, people would look at me funny because I was playing Greek music. Here, I can play any music I want. Nobody looks at me funny. We are very diverse. It's fantastic. And I wanted to stay. Do you think in these buildings we're going to be as diverse as we have been? Or are they going to be pretty wealthy, high earners coming in, bringing in maybe some money, staying for 2 years and leaving again? So I like consistency. I love the walkability of our neighborhood. This just doesn't fit. And as the gentleman was saying, I bet you he can find a way to pencil it in and make a lot of money as well, and we can have a nice neighborhood. I would love to see something wonderful in front of our building, but not a 7-story. I pay $100 a year, a little under $100 a year for electricity because I have the light. I don't need to use much electricity. I save so much electricity. Now I'm sure my bill is going to go up greatly. So all these things do matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. I'm Karen McGinley. I'm at Lofts on 4th, and I want to thank Bibi for presenting our case so well, and also Lena for your assistance and Ms. Pierce. I'll just make a few bullet points. I'm a real estate professional. I've been in Long Beach for 30 years. I moved into the Lofts on 4th in 2005 with my husband. We've been there 12 years, and it is an absolutely spectacular community, as Tino just said. Some key issues that I object to as not only as a real estate person, but as a citizen of the redevelopment area of downtown Long Beach. No affordable housing element. I think that just cries in the face of what you people say you're going to do, both as a professional and also as a citizen. I also object to the 7 stories. The natural light is certainly an issue. And the high-density impact of traffic is just extraordinary already on the Alamitos and 4th. And I'm not being rude to the gentleman with regard to traffic, who was kind enough to spend time with us last night. But the road diet isn't working, and this isn't going to help. Okay, it's going to make it a lot worse. So basically, I'm asking to revisit the Alamitos project, decrease the number of stories, consider decreasing the number of units, therefore parking and density, add in affordable housing, and then you can follow the guidelines that you set up when we started redeveloping downtown Long Beach in the early 2000s. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Debbie Tobias. I live at 100 Atlantic Avenue, and I am president of TAPS, a citizens parking group. We oppose the project because it doesn't have enough parking. The city has refused for years to make sure those parking requirements are adequate. Stopping the damage has become an urgent matter. Please get the options for immediate action before approving these buildings. Planning staff is following the directives of a previous city council when it comes to the support of the downtown's lowered parking requirements. Downtown City Council Robert Garcia and Sue DeLowenthal pushed for adoption of the downtown plan, which included the low parking requirements. Council members outside of downtown should realize that these issues are likely to come your way. The Midtown plan was already passed last year. It lowered parking requirements without local data or professional evaluation. During the hearing, the Planning Commission was told that there is plenty of parking in the area. A commissioner disagreed with that statement after driving the area at 3:30 p.m. Planning staff also refuses to include parking guidelines in the LUE, saying parking will be addressed later in zoning. If you think you can deal with it then, consider how little success we've had fixing this. The downtown plan's parking requirements for the new buildings were not based on data or professional evaluation. Back in 2013, planning staff could not provide anything like that to support one space per unit regulation. For years, seniors planning staff has refused to listen to us, the public, property managers and owners, business owners, our experienced parking consultant, and our lawyers. The only reason there's a parking study coming is because of multiple lawsuits. The California Natural Resources Agency told us that the only way to enforce CEQA is through litigation. That type of lawsuit requires a great deal of money and time. So those at City Hall who want to continue with the inadequate parking requirements know that they only need to continue saying no. The California Natural Resources Agency also told us that while parking is no longer a CEQA impact, inadequate parking causes increased traffic, air pollution, and safety issues for pedestrians because of the increase in cars circling to find parking in the area. The city can study these impacts to protect our area, or the city can continue to do what they think they can get away with. The choice is yours. This can be fixed, or you can continue with the policies that were pushed into law by a small number of people. Please make sure these new buildings have enough parking for their own use. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Sharon Brown. I'm here reading something for Becky Fierce. She had to leave. She's at 418 Benito. And basically, she says, there have been numerous studies done indicating the air pollution contributes to Alzheimer's and dementia. And people driving around looking for a parking place contributes to the pollution. Last week, Janine Pierce met with local residents to discuss the 320 Alamitos building. The meeting raised more questions to me than it answered. There were lots of promises made to meet with people before tonight's meeting to provide proof for claims made by staff at planning and council meetings, etc. But to my knowledge, none of this came through. Someone questioned the height of the building, saying it's supposed to be in line with the surrounding buildings. Well, it's now says six stories, now it's apparent seven stories above ground to the four stories above ground next to it. That issue was not addressed. No one could confirm if they're still losing all the parking in front of the building on both sides of Alamitos as originally planned, nor could they confirm where the claimed 28 new parking places were supposed to be. So no new understanding or clarification to any of our concerns, just promises that did not come to fruition. So on one hand, you have people relating facts that the issues caused harm to the environment and subsequently people. And on the other hand, people just outright denying facts because they don't want to believe it or because it doesn't fit their agenda. The agenda seems to be money. Money for business, money for people in power, money for developers. But what about the constituents? If you don't take care of us, who does? The Planning Commission tried. They didn't want to approve the 320 Alamitos, but staff told them they had to. If the Planning Commission can't say no to staff, then why do we have them? If council can't say no to staff, why do we have them? It seems that staff is naming the city, running the city, and they aren't elected. They're hired. So basically, we have no representatives, and as such, no voice. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. My name is Johanna Cunningham, the Executive Director for the Apartment Association, California Southern Cities. I come before you this evening to express my support for the project at 320 Alamitos Avenue. The 77-unit project is a welcome and much-needed addition to the downtown area and provides the development of much-needed units within the downtown area. Acknowledging the need for housing supply, this project supports that end goal for both tenants and our hometown businesses. Supply is the issue, and it is encouraging to see so many residential projects in the process. Thank you for this opportunity to speak before you in support of the 320 Alamitos Avenue project, and I hope you'll support the project and future development as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is Lynette Ferency, and to approve a site plan review, positive findings must be made. Finding A requires compatibility in design, character, and scale with the neighborhood structure in the community. The proposed building is 75 feet and 7 stories. Surrounding buildings are 1 to 4 stories in height. The proposed building is up to 6 stories taller than nearby buildings. How is this compatible with the surrounding buildings? It is not. The findings don't address the scale of the building. Approval of the project will result in a loss of privacy, light, air, and a reduction in property values of the surrounding condominium owners. Most of Alamitos Beach is 2 to 3 stories. The new LUE maps released this weekend show Alamitos Beach went from 7 to 4 stories. This height is more appropriate for the neighborhood. The downtown plan has 5 guiding principles. Number 5 is working with and for the community. Dozens and dozens of residents have spoken in opposition to this project at Planning Commission. Please listen to your community. The same issue is going to come up frequently in the future as the LUE has many 5 to 6 story heights allowed, which are adjacent to single family homes. Protect your community, deny the appeal, and have the developer redesign to be compatible with the community. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last speaker, please.
Oh, thank you. My name is Neil Baker. I live at 940 East 3rd Street, Taos 2 condos, which are less than a block from where the proposed development would be in the 2nd District. Thank you to Lawson 4th for your great presentation. That was very eye-opening, and I hope the City Council will take that into consideration. I lived in the area for 15 years now as owner of a townhome, also served on the board of our building for 13 years, and I've seen parking go from bad to worse. I've seen what's happened with development. I think it's a beautiful project that you have there. I think a smaller project would be much better for the area. I think having the trees there, I think having a little open space is very great there. I think not being able to see the sunrise is really impactful for neighbors, and I think this is going to be, I don't want us to be guinea pigs for what is larger scale development in a historically smaller low-rise development area. We are a residential area. We're Alamitos Beach. We're on the east side of Alamitos where this project is supposed to be, and I just ask that the council take that in consideration. Also, I imagine that people who are going to come and rent in this building are going to be paying at least $1,500 a month. I don't think this is going to be low income, and I see the neighborhood changing, and going from more diverse to less diverse. So I don't think that's something that a progressive city like Long Beach wants to do. So I urge the council to vote against this project. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That concludes public comment. And so we will now conclude the hearing and go back to the council. And so I'm going to turn this over to Councilmember Pierce.